turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. It's just going to be a jumping off point for us. I hope you've enjoyed the conference. Have you?
Yes.
I have. I have had a ball. You guys are so fun. I want to take you with us to some of our retreats, you know, and everybody's different. Everybody's different. I'm always amazed at the prayer advances, though, that you get people from every different background, every different church, and we're not even, you know, the same congregation, but we all come together, and it's so unified and so worshipful, and we can just laugh together and cry together and have a wonderful time. It's amazing to me that that happens. You know, that's just because of God. It's because we all have Christ, and we want to worship him, and we want to learn. But, you know, sometimes we go to retreats and it's all the same church and we don't have this kind of unity or this kind of worship. It's just amazing. So thank you for being a wonderful, wonderful audience to talk to and to be with. It's just been amazing. But I hope that in all of the information that we've received, I mean, I was sitting there last night and I even said to David on the way home, I think you covered it. I think I have nothing to say tomorrow. But anyway, I hope in all of the information that you don't feel overwhelmed. Now, if you came here to be encouraged, you're probably just sitting there going, and ooh, probably need to work on that a little bit. But if you came here expecting the Lord to really do something in your life, you might feel a little overwhelmed. I mean, I think I would, but don't feel that way. You know, baby steps in the right direction are still steps in the right direction. In James chapter 4, and I probably should get there since I told you to go there. I've just been talking. And it's after that. Oh, my poor old Bible is falling apart. Okay. I'm getting there. I am. Here we go. James chapter 4, and I'll see it better when I do this. Okay. James 4, verse 8, the first part of the verse, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Even a baby step in the right direction towards God in your marriage, he's going to come right back at you. He's just waiting. He's like, I'm here. I'm here. You know, in every season of life, the Lord gives us aha moments. David and I have always tried to work on our marriage, and I will tell you, we've had a very happy, fun, flirty, wonderful marriage, but we're not perfect. So while we're working on it, sometimes the Lord will give us these aha moments of, you should work on that. It'll make it better. Sometimes I think, it can't get any better, but it can because I'm a sinful girl, and I need to draw nigh to God. Sometimes those aha moments come in a season of difficulty. Sometimes they come in a season of pain, whether it's your pain or your husband's pain. Sometimes those aha moments come in just a blip of time where you're just like, oh, I need to do better. One of those moments happened with me. It's probably been about 10 years ago. Probably, I think Charity was a baby and she's 10, so that was 10 years ago. We lived full time in our 40-foot RV. We have a 40-foot travel trailer. It's a fifth wheel trailer. And I don't tell you that to make you feel sorry for us. We loved every single moment. Okay, maybe not every single moment, but it's what we did so that we could be together as a family. We lived just full time in it. Our five kids, we had an 85-pound golden retriever, Gracie, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But home was where you parked the trailer. I mean, we would call home Ohio, my daddy's church. They had a hookup there for us. We would go home and we would park there, but we never moved out of the trailer at that time. The Lord gave us a house home 7 years ago, and it's beautiful and I love it. But at that time, if David needed to get to a meeting quickly, you don't travel quickly with five children. You don't travel quickly with an RV. You just don't. But if he needed to get there quickly, he would leave us wherever we were parked, and he would get to a meeting and come back. And we were at a church in Florida. It's a very large state, so I'm not going to tell you even where it was. But we were in Florida, and he was going to an evangelistic crusade in Haiti. So he's not even going to be in the country. So he said to me, let me make sure you got everything all set on the trailer. And I mean, I've been doing this a while. So I knew, you know, if something happens, don't try to fix it yourself. Call the pastor and he'll call an RV specialist and he'll come in and he'll fix it. It'll be fine. So I wasn't really worried about it. Now, how many of you have ever RV'd before? Now, you know, they are a little bit self-sufficient, but if you're going to stay in it, you need to hook up. You need electricity, you need water, and you need a sewage receptacle. Because you have a tank, you do, but okay, we have five little ones in there and me. We're going to fill that tank up. And normally, if you park in an RV park, all of your hookups are right there, right along the side. Unfortunately, at Baptist churches, that doesn't always happen. They're not right there. So all of our hookup, well, our electricity and our water were right there. The sewage was across the parking lot, across the yard, way over there. Now, normally, if you're going to empty sewage, and I'm sorry, it's very early in the morning to be telling this story, but if you're going to empty it, it's right there. You have a tube about yay so big. It's all hooked up. You just pull a lever. It all goes where it's supposed to go. You wash your hands. You're done. But if it's across the yard, you can't use tube yay so big. You've got to use a hose. So you have to use this thing called a macerator pump. Macerator pump literally chews up the sewage so it can fit in the hose. All right. Probably TMI. So I had never used the macerator pump. I knew how to empty the sewage. I'd never used the macerator pump. David said, let me show you how to do this. So he takes me outside. He gets everything hooked up, the long, long hose. I think it was more than one hose. We had to go across the yard, all this stuff. So he's got it all hooked up, and he is talking to me, and he's just holding this. It's not the underbelly of the trailer, but it's right there on the very bottom edge. So he's holding this, and he's talking to me. He's holding it with one hand because the little hooks that hook it to the sewage dump there had sheared off. So he said, you're going to have to hold it. But he's holding it with one hand and talking to me and making this look so very easy. So I was like, okay, we can do this. And I mean, maybe if the kids are really careful and they use the church bathrooms during the day, we won't even have to do this. But no. Okay. So it came the day where I was like, you know what, Josh, he's my oldest boy. At this time, he was 12. I said, Josh, I think we're going to have to empty the sewage. Okay, Mom. So I could see the dark clouds are rolling in. This happens a lot in Florida, that dark clouds roll in and you get an afternoon thunder shower. So I was like, let's hurry and let's get it done. So we get all the hoses hooked up. We get the macerator pump. I said, you know what? I'll hold the macerator pump. You pull the lever. He said, okay. So I'm, you know, I know better than to just hold it with one hand. So I kind of squat down there and I'm holding it with two hands. I'm holding it. And many things happened. First of all, the sewage is emptied from your sewage tank by gravity. So it did not occur to me that when he pulled that lever, the force of gravity that would have just come from that tank. So I'm squatting down and I'm holding. I'm so glad that I had a firm hold because I thought it was going to knock me over. I was like, woo! Okay, so, and the force is coming. Secondly, this is slimy stuff, girls. So the macerator pump that should be hooked there, that's not hooked there because the hooks are sheared off, is like sliding. And the macerator pump is a machine. So it makes noise and it does all this stuff and it's like, it's wanting to come back at me. And I have a junior high boy standing next to me who thinks this is the best thing ever. And I am not quiet. You know, I'm a reactionary. So this is me. I'm like, and all this stuff is like squirt, 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 squirt. And I'm just like, mom! And I know I can't let go. I can't leave a lake of sewage in this church parking lot. So I is just, oh my word. It's going everywhere. Joshua is on the ground laughing so hard, not coming to my rescue. I was just, but I started laughing too. We both have tears just streaming. We were laughing so hard. We finally get it all done. We clean it all up. I needed a shower. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is in my hair. It was disgusting. And just as we were about to run in the trailer, these big fat raindrops start falling, and that thunder shower came and cleaned up the puddle I left. Praise the Lord, they have no idea. But anyway, as soon as I stepped in the house, David called, which was wonderful. He's been in Haiti. I'm so excited to hear from him. So I answer the phone, and both Josh and I are still dying laughing. And he says, "What is going on?" So I'm trying to tell him everything, and there's like silence on his side of the phone. I mean, dead silence. And I said, "Are you still there?" And he was like, I'm just so amazed that you're laughing at this. And I was like, yeah, it's funny. Don't you think it's funny? Anyway, so we're going on and on. But after that conversation, you know, it's never a pleasant thing when the Holy Spirit takes his flashlight and shines it in your heart. But the benefits of allowing him to do so and then following his prompting far outweigh what we do when we say, nope, I don't need to change that. But the Holy Spirit shined his light in my heart and said, how many conversations have you had on the phone with your husband who's been hundreds of miles away and he could do nothing about your distress? And instead of laughing, you said, those children, your children, this trailer, which is actually all part and parcel of his ministry. I wouldn't have that trailer if he didn't travel and evangelism. All part of his heart, his children, his heart. And every time, this church you have us parked at, sewage across the yard, all of that just stomping on my husband's heart every time. Now, can I share things with my husband? Absolutely. Do I sometimes need to? Absolutely. But is there a better way? Mm-hmm. So over our 26 years of marriage, I have been learning a few things. So this is titled Five Things I'm Still Learning, and that's not a good title. I'm sorry about that, but it's the best we can do. I want to be a good wife to David, and we have had a wonderful marriage. But I want to, in the midst of it, when God shines that flashlight and gives me an aha moment, I want to say, yes, Lord, you're right. I need to fix that. I want to draw nigh to him. The first thing I would say that I am learning is to walk with God. Girls, my husband has said a little bit about my family. My dad was a pastor for 47 years, and my mom and dad had an amazing marriage. If I can just be a little bit of what they were, I will just be so happy. They are godly people. I mean, my dad's perfect now. He's in heaven. But they always walked with God in front of me. And then I went from their home to Dave Young's home, and I told those of you who were here the other night, Dave Young is a godly man. He walks with God. He is what he is out here. He is in our home. He's not perfect, but he is a godly man. And it's so easy, if you have that, to feed off of that spirituality. To be like, you know what? I'm doing good. I'm married to a preacher. I go to church a lot. A lot. We go to revival meetings a lot. We just finished one last week. We've been in this conference. We're going to one next week. It's what we do. but that doesn't make me spiritual. Walking with God is an intimate, personal relationship with Him. It starts with knowing Him as your Savior. Do you know Him? Have you sat in this conference thinking, oh, they keep talking about doing this because the Bible says so, or doing this because God says so, or doing this because, and I don't even know what they're talking about, or oh, I've heard about this my whole life, and everyone thinks I'm saved, but I'm not, and oh, I can't do that now. What will people think of me? You know what we would think? We would be like, praise Jesus! I am so glad you got to know God on a personal level. That's where it starts. It starts with knowing Him as your Savior. If you don't, will you please come see me or see Miss Debbie or one of the ladies you came with? Call your pastor's wife and get that settled today. But that's where it starts. And then it grows from there, and it never stops growing. I've been saved since I was 4 years old. And I know today that there is so much more of God's word that I need to learn and know and do. I never stop walking with God. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and we could do like a whole series in Galatians 5, and we don't have time for that today. But in Galatians 5, I need to get in the right chapter. There we are. We're going to start in verse 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Here we are at a conference on marriage, so we're learning a lot about love. And when you love, you serve. But, let's see, wait, verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Have you ever in your marriage gone through a period of time where you feel like you're biting each other? Every little thing gets on your nerves. From the moment he walks in the house until he starts snoring that night. Every little thing. You're just like, and pretty soon what's the in your heart starts coming out your mouth. And your husband is like, I can't do anything right. But girls, if we're walking with God, this isn't going to happen. Look at verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." That's walking with God. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh." Let's skip down to verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit," so when you're walking with the Spirit, this is what's going to come out of your life. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Does that not sound like the most amazing marriage and home life? Where it is always love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine? That's amazing. But the Bible tells us right here in Galatians chapter 5 that if we walk with God, that happens. You know how I know when I'm not walking with God? When I'm biting at David. When every little thing irritates me. Do we ever have to have a discussion? Yes. Do we have moments of intensity? Yeah. But if I'm walking with God, it's going to be done in love. It's going to be done with gentleness. Of thinking of his good, of being peaceable, having patience and letting things go. You know, you don't have to talk about every little thing. You don't. You can let the socks lay on the floor or pick them up yourself and let it go. You can if you're walking with God. The way we walk with God, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse from the other night, if you were here Thursday, but this is where it all starts. You cannot, I cannot be the wife I need to be without walking with God. It just starts there. So I would say, first of all, Bible seeking. I don't say Bible reading, because I know ladies who read copious amounts of scripture, and they are mean women. So I'm saying Bible seeking. Whenever you have time during your day, whether that's first thing in the morning or last thing at night, or sometime when the kids are taking their nap, and I know you go through seasons of life where you can't have your devotions first thing in the morning. I understand that. You have to make it work for wherever you are in life. But when you have that time, take it and sit down and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Today. And then write it down, whether you use 3x5 cards or a journal or whatever. You may only get 3 verses in and the Holy Spirit say, that's it. That's the verse for you today. You might have to get 30 chapters in. I don't know. But whatever it is, that Bible seeking and asking the Lord to talk to your heart, and then writing it down and meditating on it throughout the day. And then when those times come where your husband comes in and he does that little thing that just always gets on that last nerve, the Holy Spirit can bring that verse to your mind and you can say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Because you're walking with God and you're Bible seeking. I would say, again, another thing that helps us to walk with God is believing prayer. When you go through seasons of life, and we all have those seasons where you're just adjusting to one another again, because as a man and a woman, you grow. You go through different things. Maybe you're going through your honeymoon stage and you're just getting to know one another. You're going through the we are pregnant stage, or we have baby stage, or we're in perimenopause stage. Whatever that stage is, you're both learning and growing with each other all the time. All the time. And during those times, you need to believe that God answers your prayer. God does 3 things when I pray. He changes me, he changes David, and he changes us. When I pray, we say that we believe that God answers prayer. My favorite verse, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Do you want to see great and mighty things in your marriage? Then pray about it. Pray about it. The most amazing thing is that when you start to pray, be ready, because God's going to change you. He is. You might think that that man needs a lot of changing, and maybe he does need some. And the Holy Spirit will work on him. Remember from Thursday night, you're not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does a really good job at his job. So let him do it, and you pray, but God's going to work in your heart and in your life. Believe that God can do that. Believe that God can get you through perimenopause. He can. Okay. Amen. So Bible seeking, believing prayer, and then I would say open-hearted church attendance. There is... this huge wave of spiritualizing why we don't go to church. Well, we need family time. So do I. Right. You know, we have family time. We go to church. And then we go home and we eat together and we talk and we play a game or we watch a film or something like that. So you can still have family time and go to church. Now, I understand sometimes work keeps you out of church, or a sick baby keeps you out of church, or a sick mama keeps you out of church, whatever that is. I'm not trying to heap guilt upon your head. But when you can go, go. And then when you're there, be there.
That's good.
I know, girls, I know trying to get a family out the door and to church is like the most satanic attack you have ever come under in your life. You can't find things. The baby has a blowout diaper. All this. You're just like, why am I even trying? And by the time you get to church and you sit down, you're just like. And you know that that nursery pager is going to go off anytime. You're just like waiting for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Yep, here it comes. But when you're there, try to be there. Because you are reaping the benefits of hours. I live with a preacher, so I know. Yep. Hours of Bible study. I don't have time to put in the study that David does on certain passages. But then I sit under his preaching and I'm like, wow, that's what the Bible says there? That's amazing. People ask me all the time, are you bored in his sermons? Are you kidding? The Holy Spirit is always fresh. The Word of God is always fresh. Yes, sometimes I'm tired. But most of the time, the Bible just speaks to me. Let the Bible speak to you. Open-hearted church attendance. So walk with God. Let me check my time here because we need to move along. Then I would say, secondly, the thing I am learning is to pray for your husband. Pray for him. We just talked about, we do believe that God answers prayer in Matthew chapter 7. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Just keep going. Don't think to yourself, I've been praying for a month for that and nothing has happened in my husband's life. Ask, seek, and knock. Just keep going. Lord, Lord, I know you know what I'm going to say. Please help my man with this. Please help him. Pray for three areas in his life. Pray for his purity. I used to think of purity as a battle. Now I think it's an all-out war. Not just on our men, on us. Everywhere. David talked about it last night, so I'm not going to go into it. But your husband is smacked in the face with impurity every day. Every day. So pray that the Lord will protect him, protect his eyes, protect his heart. Then pray for his leadership. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to talk just in a minute more about this, but in Ephesians 5, we see that the man is the leader of the home, and God has ordained that, and God has really given him everything he needs to be the leader of your home, but that doesn't mean that he automatically knows what to do. So pray about it. Pray that God will give him wisdom. Pray that God will give him loving leadership in your home. Now, just because you prayed about it doesn't give you permission to be like, oh, no, honey, I prayed about that and you're doing it wrong. No. Don't do that. Just pray about it. Pray for his leadership. Pray for his purity. And then pray for his treatment of you. You know, sometimes you think he's not being as loving as he should be. Did you pray about it? Instead of pointing out to him his faults and failures when it comes to you, pray about it. I have been amazed, and I have a loving man, I do. He's very affectionate. I'm sure you have seen that. But we all go through times when we feel like he's not meeting our love language, you know. So, hello. It's okay. We all go through those times. And it is amazing to me how that instead of pointing out to him, you know what, this would be better if you do it this way. Instead of doing that, if I pray about it, wow, the Lord just works. So pray about his purity, his treatment of you, and pray about his leadership. Do you know, Satan knows your husband well. Just like David said last night, Satan hates marriage because God instituted marriage. And Satan doesn't want your marriage to work well. So he does study things and he tries. But you know your husband better than Satan does. So you know where to pray. So pray for him. Number three, I have to relearn this all the time, but be his cheerleader. Our men are in a world that hates men. And they go to work, or they go here, they go to the grocery store, whatever, and they are just beat down all the time. They watch television, and they get beat down. The men get made fun of on television. They're dumb, and they can't do anything, and the women rise to the occasion, of course, all the time. So you need to be his cheerleader. In Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us that the man is the leader of the home. And the Roberts pointed out yesterday on the panel in verse 33, it says that the husband is to love the wife, and the wife is to see that she reverence her husband. That word reverence does mean respect. We talked about it Thursday night, where we talked about reverencing the Lord. It means to hold him in awe. It means the same thing with your husband, to hold him in awe. When was the last time you were in awe of that man that God gave you? I don't mean like, are you kidding me? You did that again. Not that. I mean like, wow, you are amazing. Do you tell him? Wow, you are amazing. Do you know that if your husband is beat down in the world and then beat down in his home, he will, shall I say, rise to the occasion. Why even try? I can't do anything right for her. Why even try? But if he's beat down in the world, but in his home, he is Mr. Incredible. He will rise to the occasion. If you say to him, that was amazing. You are an amazing daddy. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing whatever little chore that helped me out. You know, maybe it's something he thinks he's helping you, and really he's not doing the job that would really help you. He's doing something that actually will make more work for you. Has that ever happened to you? But he's so proud of himself. You know, you're just giving a quick cleanup in the house. You're just like, go, kids, go. Let's get it. And he's like, hey, you're clean. I'll clean out this closet for you. And you're like, no, don't touch the closet. You know what? He's trying to help. Give him credit. Be like, thank you so much for that. That's wonderful. Be his cheerleader. Hold him in awe. Proverbs chapter 31 and verses 11 and 12 tell us that the heart of her husband safely trusted in her. Is your husband's heart safe with you?
That's good.
You know, men are all different. Some men talk more than others. Some ladies tell me, my husband never talks to me. Well, it could just be his personality. If that's the way God made him, then let him be quiet. It could be that you don't let him get a word in edgewise. It could be that his heart does not feel safe with you. When he comes home and he says, hey, honey, this happened at work. And you say, oh, my word. Well, if you had just, that probably wouldn't happen. His heart needs to be safe. The other verse says that she will do him good every day of his life. That convicts me so much, because I know in our 26 years there have been days that I have not been good to Dave Young. But I aspire to that. I want to be good to him every day. And you know what? The way the Holy Spirit works and the way that God works, we can blow it in the morning over breakfast, and we can be like, N-n-n-n. And the Holy Spirit can convict my heart, and by the time I see him in the afternoon, we can be good. Isn't that wonderful that we can draw nigh to God that quickly, and God can help us with it? So be his cheerleader. Submit to him. As far as I can tell, there are two types of leaders in the world. There's active and passive. My husband is an active leader. He's the man with the plan. There's passive leaders. They are the plan as we go. Now, both type of leaders can be difficult to submit to, because like the man with the plan, my man, he can say, this is what we're doing. And I'm like, you didn't even ask me about that. My sister is married to the passive leader, plan as we go. My sister's a very strong woman. They are missionaries in India. She can be like, I need a plan. I need a plan. Would somebody come up? Okay, I got a plan. You know, that's, but either way, the Bible doesn't say if your husband is this way, submit to him. The Bible just says submit. Whatever kind of man you have, whatever kind of leader. So be his cheerleader in the midst of it. If you're waiting for a plan, be his cheerleader. If he has a plan that you're like, that will never work in 1,000 years, be his cheerleader. No matter what kind of leader you have, be sweet-faced to him. I am the type of girl that everything I'm thinking shows up on my face. And my husband can come in and be like, I'm going right back out. Because he sees my whole storm cloud of my day on my face. My husband fell in love with me because I smiled at him. And my eyes twinkled at him. And I got excited to see him. And here we are 26 years down the road. I don't want him to be like, man, she never smiles at me anymore. Good. I want to be sweet-faced. I want him to fall in love with me every single day. So be sweet-faced. Build him up. And during difficult times, focus on him and his needs. You know, ladies, we can get so self-focused. Why is this happening? Why did you lose your job? We are going through such financial turmoil and you lost your job. Why is this happening to me, 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 me? Who lost his job? Focus on him and his needs during those difficult times and build him up and be his cheerleader. Quickly, number four, make a haven for him. Make your home a haven. If your husband is coming home to unbridled chaos every day, it's not a haven. And I'm not talking like you have to be Martha Stewart and everything be perfect in your home. All of us are different housekeepers, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a place of joy and peace, and that happens when we're doing what? Walking with God. When he can step in and know that there's love there. There's peace there. He can relax there. Does he have a chair, ladies? I know there are some of us who are just so OCD about our house and we want it to look like Chip and Joanna Gaines were there and we're like, don't touch that. Don't step over there. Don't sit on that chair. No. Let your house be a haven for him. If he wants an ugly recliner, get it and cover up with a pretty whatever when people come through. It's okay. So make your home a haven for him. And then lastly, and we covered this a great deal last night, but flirt with him. We've had a lot of mentors in our life. Our parents have been wonderful mentors as far as our marriage goes. There's a pastor and his wife out in Las Vegas, Dr. David and Anna Tice. He's a pastor. He does not own a casino. They are wonderful people. But Anna says to me all the time, Bethley, anybody can cook for him. Anybody can do his laundry. Anybody can clean his house, but only you can do that for him. And you better be doing it. Yes, ma'am. Flirt with him. We're all married women in here. You know what happens when you flirt with your husband. You might have to tell him you're flirting if you haven't done it in a while. He might be like, what are you doing? What? And my husband is usually very clued into all of this. But one time we were sitting in church and he had his legs. You know how men cross their legs with their leg way up here? So he had his legs crossed like that, and I just reached over and untied his shoe. And he was like, so he ties it back up, and then I untied his shoe again. And he was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm flirting. He was like, oh! tell him. But be prepared for what flirting brings. Do not play hard to get with your husband. That's not the time. When you're married. And all that comes with marriage needs to be available to your husband. I spoke on this one time at a Christian camp. It was a family camp. And so we had unmarried ladies and married ladies. So I was trying to be careful. And that's why I made this point, flirt with him. So, and I said to the married ladies, you know what this means, you know, and they're all nodding their heads. Well, a couple weeks later, I get this email from this lady. And she said, I've been trying to do what you said to flirt with my husband. But every time I do that, he tries to get me alone and I don't know what to do. And I was like, so I just wrote back and I was like, that's the idea. So just in case you're missing it. From a lady's perspective, may I encourage you to do a few things. Miss Debbie, are we doing okay on time? My phone's not being cooperative. May I encourage you to buy and wear pretty lingerie? I have way too many friends who have said to me, oh my word, at this point in our life, that stays in the drawer, that's in a box in the basement, yada yada. I know that your pink penguin pajamas are the most comfortable thing. And yes, can your husband find you underneath your pink penguin pajamas? Yes, he can. And he will be happy to do so if that's the only way you come. But, it shows forethought. It shows an interest in him when you wear something pretty. And I know that as we have babies and we age, that those pretty things are going to change. I understand that. But buy and wear pretty lingerie. Get a lock for your door, for pity's sakes. Even if your children are standing outside. And I'll tell you, as teenagers, as they get to be teenagers, it gets worse. Because they're standing outside your door going, I just have a question. And I have told my children, you get married, first time I come stay at your house. I'm standing outside that door. What are you doing in there? I just have a question. Get a lock for your door. Flirt with your husband throughout the day. Your husband doesn't need you necessarily to flirt with him, but you know what it does? It reminds you that you need to be thinking about him in that way. Because women do not think that way all day long. We just don't. Now, if you are struggling in this area, first of all, if it's you that is struggling, you can get help. If you're physically struggling, see your OBGYN. They are not just there to deliver your babies. They are there for all kinds of seasons of life. And you can say to them, I'm struggling with this. And they can say, here you go. Let's try this. It's good. If your husband is struggling, and we increasingly are seeing this, where a husband is struggling, could it be a sin matter? Yes, it could be. And if it is, you need to ask the Lord to help you approach it lovingly, gently, and beg him to get help, because he can. It could be a physical matter, and I will tell you, men are not as apt to go to the doctor over a physical matter as you are, because that's a pride issue. But if it is, again, pray about it, and then approach your husband and say, honey, this is an important part of our lives. If you're struggling, let's go see a doctor. Pray about it. Can you pray about this area of your married life? Absolutely. And you should. So, what area of your life is the Holy Spirit shining that flashlight on? And it's not just an unpleasant flashlight, because he does it in love. And in James 4, he is saying, draw nigh. Baby girl, come to me. I can help you with all of this. I can help you walk with me. I can help you pray for that man fervently. I can help you be his cheerleader. I can help you make that home a haven, a place of rest. I can help you flirt with that man like no other woman ever should. And if she does, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for these ladies and their kind attention. Lord, I really am humbled that they would come into this session and that I even had opportunity to share. Lord, I have so much more to learn. But I thank you, dear Father, for this verse in James that tells us that we can draw nigh to you. Even just a baby step, and you're right there. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your love and grace and mercy over and over and over and over again. Lord, I pray for all of these ladies. I don't know what they're facing, but you do. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help them to know what step they need to take. Maybe they're overwhelmed, but Lord, just help them to know what that one thing is that they need to work on and help them to work on it. I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you will work in the next session. I pray, Lord, that it will be one that revives us and encourages our hearts. And Lord, may we go away from here stronger in our marriages. Yes, because it's wonderful to have a strong and happy marriage, but Lord, so that we can be a shining testimony to this dark, dark world. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. In your name, amen.